Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Jaime of Virtual Latinos, and today we are discussing the benefits of working with virtual assistants and using marketing automation to grow your agency. Jaime is the founder and CEO of Virtual Latinos, a virtual assistants company. He's also a digital maker with a focus on marketing and business automation. He's a marketing strategist with a huge passion for technology. 3 years ago, he decided to create a new company named Virtual Latinos, which he is going to share a little bit more information with us today. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jaime.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I appreciate it. Happy to be here. And yes, it's very true. I am a lover of marketing and technology and now virtual assistants.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more about your company. So before we dive in, let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm in San Diego, California. So I've been here for quite a few years.
Very nice. And what really gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates and inspires you?
Great question. So I really love what we're doing in general as a company. And what really excites me is really how much of a difference we're doing in people's lives, which really wasn't initially kind of what I used to get up in the morning for work. Mm-hmm. But now through what we are doing with Virtual Latinos, it really makes a huge difference in our customers and our assistants in terms of how what we do to help them get jobs as well as to clients. I just really love how everything we do helps. It's a win-win-win situation. It's a three-win situation. And when I have conversations with the assistants, especially who tell us how great they feel about the opportunities we provide, it really makes like me feel like we're not just making money, we're making a difference. And that's awesome.
Yes, that's so cool. So your background is in running a marketing agency. Is that correct?
Correct. That's right.
Okay. So yeah, talk about why you chose to make that pivot from running a marketing agency to starting Virtual Latinos.
Yes. So I, first of all, have always been passionate about technology. Originally was going to study programming, thinking that would be like a technology-based, I guess, career. I ended up not doing that, studied business with information systems as my bachelor's. And then I, you know, really just getting my first job, started doing marketing and loved it. And then specifically digital marketing. And that was actually connected to the fact that I built websites in high school for fun initially. And then I started doing that as a side business with like a freelance job where, you know, people who knew me started asking me for doing websites, and suddenly I was a web designer. And
nice.
That kind of grew into, okay, now I'm a freelance website designer and graphic designer, just out of having to learn Photoshop and other stuff. And eventually a few years later, I went and got an MBA, then decided that when I came back, I wanted to build a marketing agency because I really like doing it to help businesses, because I could see there was a big need for businesses to work with companies, especially in the small business side. There's always these big marketing agencies working with big companies, but not many people were serving the small businesses other than companies later that came like Wix or Squarespace or all these like do-it-yourself platforms. So back then, you know, it was really also awesome to see how what we did for small businesses really impacted their growth, right?
Yeah.
And so I really like that. But what ended up happening as time went by, I realized, well, now there's all these really big companies offering this do-it-yourself services. So kind of my market, which were, and by small, I mean really small, like mom and pops companies or one person owner or at the most two usually.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were having to run everything, not just their marketing. So it ended up being that many of those, let's say, future clients ended up going with cheaper services that they could do on their own to save money. And so, good or bad, we ended up getting better clients in terms of bigger clients who really were able to pay more, and they were able to see the benefits and were able to work with us, let's say, a little bit more long-term, not just web design and small marketing campaigns, but something more for the future. Mm-hmm. But in general, the shift happened because I wanted to stay a company that helped small businesses. I didn't want to be like, okay, now I'm going to just charge a lot of money and just work with bigger companies just because why not? And even though I was told by colleagues in the marketing space, it's like, hey, you know, you're doing great work, really high quality, super organized. You're working and functioning as like a really higher end company, but you're like charging very little and working with these really small companies. But, you know, I didn't really want to totally increase my prices. In fact, I have people who keep telling me, you know, that was your problem. You never wanted to raise your prices. And so, you know, I always did raise the prices a little bit, but never too much. And eventually I said, okay, you know what? What can I do to still serve smaller companies without having to raise prices too much? And obviously, maybe this is obvious, it's lowering the costs, right? So at the time, my entire team was in California, here in San Diego. Everybody got paid in dollars. So I'm like, okay, well, let's explore other options. And I am from Mexico City myself, so I'm definitely exposed to, let's say, international things.
Yep.
But as I started to learn about options, I found a book called Virtual Freedom from somebody from Australia who wrote the book about how to hire people who are virtual assistants in the Philippines.
Gotcha.
And long story short, I ended up hiring an assistant for my company first. And then I'm like, well, not just an assistant. Why don't I get some marketers? And then I got a marketing assistant. And then I'm like, you know, this is great. No wonder now there's all these other books I didn't read yet about, you know, outsourcing and getting help and basically saving a lot of money while also making a difference over there. But my biggest kind of issue was because I didn't hire through an agency and I hired on my own, I didn't really know who I was getting. And so the Filipinos that I got, because I'm sure there's a lot of great Filipinos, that's why it's a huge industry. Mm-hmm. The ones that I got were very quick to leave me for 50 more cents if they got another job, 50 cents an hour. Or in general, I had problems with people showing up. Mm-hmm. I had problems with the internet. Many of those islands in the Philippines don't have reliable internet. And the first person I hired actually scammed me, took some money, didn't do any work. And then I found out through Facebook groups that I joined where there's all the Filipinos looking for work. They posted the picture of that person who I hired, and the Filipinos were complaining that this person had basically also, you know, screwed them, let's say, because this person was sub-hiring other Filipinos to do the work and not paying them. Anyways, I was like, okay, this is bad.
Yeah,
I just got unlucky. And I didn't want to go through an agency because at the time I just didn't want to spend more money because that would be obviously more expensive. And I also just wanted to try it on my own. I hadn't hired people abroad. And that experience was actually amazing in terms of it was a total failure. And failure in the sense that I didn't end up getting the right assistant long term. And I hate wasting time and money, probably like everyone, but especially my time. And I had invested so much time initially training the two or three people that I hired that when they left sort of soon, I was not happy, right? Mm-hmm. So then I said, okay, I'm in Tijuana, I'm in San Diego, which borders Mexico, like 20-minute drive. And I've been several times and I speak Spanish. I'm like, I gotta find some Mexicans like me. There's gotta be Mexicans. Why do I have to work with somebody 8 hours far from me in terms of time zone? So I tried. And long story short, in Tijuana, it's not a big city for marketing. So I found graphic designers and programmers. So I hired my first graphic designer who worked as my marketing assistant. And then I'm like, oh, this is great. I should probably expand this and hire more people in Mexico. And then I couldn't. And I went through Upwork and all the other popular sites. And I couldn't find, let's say, very vetted people at the right price. And that's what that's when I started doing research. I'm like, okay, where can I find a virtual assistant company in Latin America? And pretty much there was only one called You Assist Me, which worked more like a call center. All the people worked in a single country, in a single city, in a single location, and they worked through there. So I'm like, hey, you know, there's basically an opportunity. Nobody is really doing it. I think that maybe if we offer it, people might like it. And, you know, mainly the benefit of being on the same time zone, still being affordable, and having more of that close cultural proximity to the US, you know?
Yeah, well, that's so cool that you saw that need in the market and were able to deliver on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a whole story of how we've obviously, I guess, come in terms of changing what we originally created to what it is today. But of course, the summary is that, yeah, things worked out well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how can agencies scale working with by hiring virtual assistants?
Great question. So when I actually started Virtual Latinos, because I'm a marketer, I only focused it on virtual marketers. And that's kind of how my specific niche was going to be. I'm like, okay, hey, hire a virtual marketer. Because I'm like, I know marketing, I can hire marketers, and people need marketers, right?
And so like, what kind of marketing? Is it like SEO, like graphic design? Like, is it like all the different elements of marketing that you guys can offer virtual assistants for?
So that was my goal. The summary is no and yes. So we are able to provide different types of marketers today. Mm-hmm. But today we actually shifted away from just digital marketers or virtual marketers. Today mm-hmm. we offer actually what we want to call virtual professionals, because the term virtual assistant very much makes people think of just like an administrative assistant.
Yes.
And the truth is we currently really hire, you know, virtual professionals that have all sorts of backgrounds. So today we hire people, yes, that do marketing, but also sales, customer support, admin, healthcare assistance, legal assistance, pretty much anything that can be done through the computer. To answer your question about marketers, the reality is that in Latin America, unless it's people who work like at a corporate company, like a big, you know, global company where they do use, let's say, US-based marketing or more of the newest marketing strategies.
Yep.
Latin America as a whole, and especially in Mexico where I started, they use, obviously things are changing, but many companies still use, let's say, more of the old school marketing tools or techniques. So it's very hard actually to find marketers in Latin America, even today, that have a lot of experience with very technical things like SEO or building funnels or using analytics and this, you know, bigger data software, which I know how to use and we use in our company. Mm-hmm. So we actually struggle. We have a lot of marketing agencies that come to us looking for these higher end people and we can't find them. So what we can find are, let's say, what we call like a general virtual marketer, which can do basic, let's say, marketing tasks such as email marketing, content, blogging, social media management, media planning, something what I would call between basic and mid-level tasks.
That's awesome. And then, so do you vet everyone before you bring them on to be one of your assistants?
Correct. I was just speaking yesterday with a client who was our client, but you know, it's a sort of a bigger company and they didn't know we were working with them. And I was speaking to the owner. He's like, well, we've been working with you guys for a while, but I don't really know anything about you. Tell me, right? And so I told him kind of how it all works. And I told him, and I want to share this with you, I have zero background in recruitment or HR. So I
right.
don't really know, or I still don't really know how other companies, let's say, properly do recruitment. So I just created my own very picky method of vetting people the way that I hire them for my own agency. And so, yes, we make it very, very difficult. And it's a really long and boring process that a lot of people don't want to do. And that's part of the filter. So, yes, we filter absolutely everyone who wants to work with us. We initially accept basically about 5% that go through the whole process. And we tell them, okay, you are good enough in terms of your English skills and background and the abilities for you to potentially work with us. And then we end up hiring the top 2%.
Okay. That's really interesting. Yeah. So what would be the benefits to an agency owner of hiring a virtual assistant over hiring a full-time employee?
Great question. So in general, first let me tell you that virtual assistants, in a way, at least we consider them as employees in the sense that they are part of the team. They don't have to work full time, but many of them do work full time. Mm-hmm. And our clients really value them and consider them as these people being part of their team. You know, they give them an email address from their company and their work as part of their team, as opposed to, well, let's say, what a freelancer is, which is usually hired on a per project basis or a very short term period. We tell our clients, if you want to work with us, you got to think about our virtual assistants as people who are part of your team. So, I mean, the biggest, maybe obvious benefit is saving money, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with the first fact that full-time employees in the US assuming it's, let's say, people in the US, you got to pay payroll taxes, you got to pay all these different taxes for the employee, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to pay them US wages, at least minimum, if not, of course, more, especially for marketing agencies. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's say a typical marketer with, let's say, I don't know, 3-4 years of marketing experience, a company here might pay them, I don't know, let's say per hour, between 40 to 50 or 75 bucks an hour. It just depends on the specific skill.
Yep.
Our highest assistant, so our highest would be like 20 bucks an hour.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Which
big
is
cost
like the
savings.
Highest, and that would mean compared to somebody that in the US might get paid 75 or 90 bucks an hour, right?
Right.
So like 20 is like a huge cost savings. Now, of course, there's a whole range of marketing people. So what I'm saying, these numbers could totally fluctuate. But I can tell you that one of the reasons we've been successful is because we do save people a lot of money, usually between 30 to like 70% savings. So it's pretty big.
That's very cool.
While keeping and comparing to the quality, like we basically, if you compare the same quality on both sides, right? The people that we have, like 95% of them are college graduates. They have at least 2 years of work experience, at the very least in terms of the entry level people. So cost savings is usually the biggest one. The second is definitely the fact that these people work on the same time zone.
And
this is good compared to the people that hire, let's say, people outside of the US and like the Philippines. But how's that better necessarily the time zone with somebody in the US? Not really, because it's the same, but at least in a way that's good because you want it to be the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, even if like, I was just working with a client the other day who lives in Australia, and it's like an 8-hour time difference. So yeah, being in the same time zone is a huge thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, a funny thing for me that I didn't think about when we started this, we have clients, I think we have one in Australia, maybe two, and we have clients in Europe who have clients in the US and they want to serve them. So they want their assistants or their team to basically be awake during US hours. Right.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's really cool.
So that's not a huge part of our business, but it is something that I didn't really expect.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have any pointers for those looking to hire a VA who aren't sure what the first step is?
Great. Yes, lots of pointers. you know, I guess part of my job has been actually to, in a way, consult with people and guide people on how they should hire assistants.
Yeah.
And sorry, it still is today, because a lot of people know they have a need, but they don't really know what they need.
Yeah.
So part of my job has been, in a way, teaching people what are these things they need to know about, right? So I'll tell you a few of them. So the first thing is that in order for you to be successful hiring any virtual assistant or marketer, you need to be organized. It sounds maybe obvious, but when our clients are not that organized or they don't have any sort of plan at all, mm-hmm. they usually fail and they don't last with us that long. Now, what does organized mean? It can mean a lot of things for different people, but from our point of view, it usually means at least that, you know, you need to have some sort of idea of what goals you want to achieve, what will be your training process for teaching the assistant how to do what you want them to do. And maybe that connects to my second suggestion. Never think that just because you're going to hire someone and pay them, they're going to solve all your problems. You know, they are not unicorns. And this is something that happens quite often where people contact us and they're like, hey, you know, I want to hire this guy who can do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I want to pay the lowest. I'm like, well, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on what you're telling me, you need like three different people at two different price ranges.
Yeah,
you know?
So just having those realistic expectations.
Yeah, realistic expectations. And usually when we explain it, most people get it. They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
So that's another tip. And the third tip, which I think has been helping us a lot and is helping the clients who we see are growing with us, people who are writing down their processes. And if you read a lot of business books, you know, creating standard operating procedures or guides for how to do everything in your business is like the key in general to point number one of being organized, but also for growing, right? Because right now we're internally now 35 people that manage the company, mm-hmm. but we want to grow more, but we realize we're spending too much time training each new person because it was usually just one-on-ones and, live Zoom trainings. So, of course, the first thing is we've recorded everything now. So the new people we hire, we're having them look at the previous Zoom trainings. But other than that, we're literally creating Google Docs explaining for each department literally how you do every task. So right now we have a Google Doc, which is the list of like 50 different standard operating procedures that we need to build. We've only built about 25, but that's part of our goal, right? To really detail out everything, how it's done, because that way we can hire tomorrow anybody and just tell them, hey, go read all this stuff, look at the videos, and then we spend a lot less time training them in terms of at least the one-on-one time.
Okay. Yeah, those are some great tips. So being organized, having some sort of an onboarding training session. And are there any drawbacks to hiring VAs?
You could say that there are drawbacks, especially for companies that do need somebody for sure in-house. There's very few clients who tell me, hey, we just need somebody inside our office physically, whether it's to physically handle documents or to greet people, if it's clients in person. Obviously, those businesses don't work.
Yep.
But the reality is that there's not that many drawbacks. You're saving money. As long as you're okay, especially now with COVID, of people being okay working remotely, it's not a big issue. So
yep.
People are getting more used to working with people remotely, which has actually been part of our growth. People are like hiring one and they're like, hey man, this is awesome. Because we've had a lot of new clients that would have never hired if COVID didn't happen. And they're like, hey, why hire the local American guy virtually if I can hire virtually somewhere else? So
yeah.
Then they've come back for more. A lot of people have now come back for more than one assistant.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just going to ask you that, how you've seen your company grow during COVID, because it makes sense that you guys would grow.
Yeah. So, just last year we grew over 50%, which was a lot. We currently hire, as of today, a little bit over 540 assistants that are actively working with us that represent around 380 clients.
Wow. That's impressive. Very cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, I can tell you a few other things in general that what I think is something important that as a company we're going to hopefully be providing soon. Because of the lack of skills compared to the Philippines, let's say in areas such as e-commerce or Amazon or some of those things that in the Philippines it's a lot more common as well as in the US, we want to be a company that doesn't just hire people from Latin America, but also helps them get trained.
Very cool.
We're gonna build a virtual academy for the assistants to get more skills. We have a badges programs where they can take existing courses that somebody else built that we're gonna basically be basically curating. That's just some thoughts about how we wanna help not just clients but also assistants.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. I love that. So today I also want to speak to you a little bit about marketing automation and how you can use automation
Great.
To grow your agency. So what kind of automation have you found to be most effective when it comes to growing your agency?
Great question. So first I'll tell you that if you were to ask me, if you could do something all day, what would you do? It would be marketing automation. I geek out about doing all the automations I can. Because I always think, okay, yes, I can always hire more people and people are great, but they're much more complicated to manage as
yep.
opposed to technology. So my most important tool as a tool is Zapier. And people who know marketing automation have heard of Zapier.
Yep.
We definitely have about 80 Zaps or 80 automations, some of them
wow.
with two steps, some of them with, I think the longest one we have is like 24 steps. So
That's
lots
cool.
of different things.
Yeah.
And I think the most important automation internally has been about moving data from one system to the other, which is very boring when it comes to sharing about that. But because we use lots of different systems like a CRM, online forms, and we use a lot of different systems. So moving data from one place to the other has been a key part of not having anybody manually do it.
Yep.
So in terms of the importance, it's probably the most important. And let me give you an example, right? Somebody fills out a form. Yes, you get an email with the results, but then not having to obviously put it in the CRM is key.
Yes.
So we've built a lot of our processes on purpose on top of forms. Even though our team could go into, let's say, our CRM and leave a note about any potential client or lead, we created forms that are, let's say, more standardized that say, hey, you know, who did you speak with? What did you do? What were the notes? We make it easy by creating a lot of checkboxes with pre-selected answers so that people can just check them, like from our team,
yep,
to save time in taking notes. And then when you click submit, that's it. Zapier will take that info and save it as a note on our CRM, you know?
That's awesome.
So a lot of this internal flow of moving data has definitely been the most time-saving.
Yep.
But in terms of marketing, marketing automation when it comes to sending emails is the most successful. So we've automated a lot of our communications with automation flows for email before people are clients, as well as for onboarding clients. That's actually been now a very successful campaign to ensure that once a client, let's say, pays and is officially a client, mm-hmm, they can actually understand how it means to continue to work with us and be successful. You know, not just, okay, you paid us, we're happy, good luck. You know, we're very much involved on the customer success side of the relationship.
Okay. Well, that's so interesting. So I know you guys use Zapier. So is there any other kinds of software that you guys recommend to agencies looking to set up automation?
Yes. We use a lot of tools. In fact, I know that this is just for audio, but I'll show you briefly. We have a whole page of all the tools we use and we recommend to our clients. A big one that we use that it's not new necessarily, but it's been also quite useful is actually a company called Book Like a Boss. It's a software that's similar to Calendly, which much more people know, which is for booking appointments, and lots of software has it today. But these guys from Book Like a Boss also now have like a company plan where you can mix multiple people into the calendar, which again, Calendly probably also has it. But we've saved a lot of time by making sure our clients can book time with us through a system like that. And then that also tracks on the back end, let's say what we call conversions from a marketing perspective, right? We want to measure, okay, like how many people actually booked the call, and from those who booked the call, who went through the next step. So when people book a call, we add a little tag into our system and we add the date of when that happened. So then we can go back into our analytics and, you know, measure how much time passed between step A and step B to figure out, you know, how long we're taking for each of the processes so that we can later optimize them.
Okay. Very cool. That's awesome. So what general advice would you give to other entrepreneurs looking to scale their agency?
That's a great question. The first thing I can tell you is that I actually spoke with an agency owner who's 10 years older than me and who started his marketing agency 10 years before me. Mm-hmm. And he always, you know, gave me a lot of tips. And now that I've been almost 10 years working with my own marketing company, you know, the biggest tip is, You really, in case the agency hasn't, choosing a niche and a specialty is probably the most important. And it is the same tip that this other agency owner told me. And that was kind of a failure of my marketing agency. If I went to look at it back in the past, it still exists as an entity, but we don't really offer any marketing services today. And that was kind of the problem. We were helping with everything to everybody. And that was a big problem because then we weren't helping, let's say, nobody specific, right?
Yeah.
So today, let's say my niche is, hey, we only offer, in this case, virtual assistants from Latin America. That's it. You know,
yes,
today we don't have a specific niche in terms of the clients that work with us. There's different industries, but that's the niche, Latin American assistants. And so, yeah, that's, I think, the biggest tip. In order to compete and be successful, you need to choose a niche. Otherwise, it's just too hard.
Yes, that's a really great tip. I love that. So if any of our listeners are looking to hire a VA or get more information from you, how can they get in touch with you?
Perfect. Yeah. So definitely first step would be to check out our website, virtuallatinos.com. But you can definitely get in touch with me personally. My email is Jaime, J-A-I-M-E, Jaime at virtuallatinos.com. Otherwise, of course, you can just go to our website, check out all of our different social media. Our phone number is also in there, which is 619-354-1118.
Perfect. And I will put that in the description as well. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you to learn more, they can do so.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Julia. And I mean, you tell me how you think that everything that I've said has helped you learn anything new.
Yeah. It's been really informative. I know you hear a lot of people interested in hiring VAs, but I didn't really know sort of what the first steps would be. So everything you've said has been super informative.
Thank you. Well, I guess let me just tell you one more thing. Because there's so much information in general about everything, right? Including our process for hiring, which has a lot of steps, we've now created what we call client roadmaps for people to visually really understand, like, okay, what does it really take to go through the whole process of hiring an assistant? So we made like a multi-page PDF that literally explains to all of our potential clients everything that's needed to successfully hire someone, right? And I'll share the link with you in case people want to see it. I think it'll be useful whether they hire through us or through any company. I think thinking of the steps will be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to share that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Sounds good.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
That would be E-Myth, which I read a long time ago in college. And it's a book about, as a summary, pretty much building your business as a franchise so that you can actually sell it, even if you were not to sell it. And
yeah,
that's kind of where I got all the whole idea of, like, we got to create operating procedures and manuals for everything if you really want to grow it. And, you know, the typical example usually in the book is about McDonald's, right? Try to build your company to be like McDonald's so that you can franchise it and, you know, make copies of it, let's say. So yeah, that was the book that I really enjoyed.
Such a good one. I know. I think that was the first business book I ever read as well. And yeah, it's such a classic.
Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine. So it depends on, let's say, sometimes the day, but usually, yes, you know, wake up. I'm a big, sort of big coffee drinker. So definitely drink coffee, get ready, and, you know, sometimes dressing up, sometimes honestly not dressing up because I work from home. So sometimes I'm just up and, you know, after having coffee, I just start working like at 8 in the morning and then I forget to even have breakfast. But on a good day, you know, I wake up and I have coffee, I get ready, and then usually start my day at around 10 a.m. And as an entrepreneur, my day is usually working late. I'm usually more of the night owl. I like to usually work at night, which my wife, of course, doesn't love so much. But yeah, so I'm usually working up late and then waking up later.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Is there a CEO that I follow or study? Unfortunately, not specifically. I do look up to a CEO that is definitely not public. And his name is Frank, and he's a local San Diego marketing agency owner. He's the one who's always given me the best advice. And so, I mean, I look up to him. So I don't know if maybe the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's
but
perfect.
But it's not somebody that anybody would know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a local marketing agency owner.
Nice. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool? I'm going to definitely go with Zapier.
Yeah.
It's just very complex, but very flexible. And I can tell you that if Zapier didn't exist, my business would not be where it is today. Like,
yeah,
I can tell you that right now. We just passed last week. We got an actually email from Zapier saying, hey, you're already on the highest plan. So from now on, because you're passing the 75,000 tasks per month that are included, now we're going to charge you per task 0.0005 cents or something. I'm like, okay, this is great because it just means that we're saving so much time.
That's and, so impressive. You know,
if I have 35 people today, it would represent more like 50 or maybe 60 people if I didn't have Zapier, right? But then if I had 60, I couldn't make, you know, necessarily a good profit because I'd have to pay so many more people to do the work. So yeah, Zapier has just been the backbone of our business from so many levels, which we don't have time to explain today, but happy to explain it another time.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Good question. One thing I wish I knew before I started my career, that being flexible is a very key part of being successful in business. I'll say that. You know, growing up and, you know, with my wife and with friends and with my family, I've tended to be always stubborn. I'm still very stubborn and I like to do things my way.
Mm-hmm.
And change is hard for me. And that's just something I know. And now that I've seen that being open to change and being flexible, let's say, even leaving the fact that I can't be the only guy doing everything at my job, and obviously now I have people who do the work, you know, for me and do all these different tasks, that was very hard for me. You know, hiring my first employee was hard. So yeah, being flexible, it's a very important part. And I wish I sort of knew that before, because that would have changed how I would have built my first company.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're definitely not alone there. I know a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that. I think it was my last podcast episode was on the topic of delegating, the importance of hiring and delegating.
Yeah.
So,
it's hard.
So yeah, it's definitely something a lot of entrepreneurs do struggle with.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great advice. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jaime. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Same. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.